Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins the national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Matt, once again, you managed to pull it off looking pretty. You must not have been up that late watching the entire first round of the NBA draft. You managed to do it again. You're going to stay up late again, watch the second round? Will you show up pretty tomorrow somehow?
You know, I don't mind if you like to put off the rough, Phil. That's something you like to do.
Hey, to each his own, right?
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, I was surprised Tyler Kokak and Kyle Filipowski didn't go. I think Bronny James is going the second round. It was the intrigue. I don't know. There wasn't that number one bona fide superstar in the draft. I watched about the first 15 picks. I watched till Dalton Kincaid went to the Lakers and then kind of shut it down.
Yeah, that had a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers feel when he slid all the way down. Will Levis, because he slid all the way down into the second round. They're showing him up close. You're seeing the disappointment on his face. And then the Lakers very excited to have Kincaid land right in their lap at 17. Maybe a couple of surprises, seeing Ron Holland going fifth overall in the draft, seeing Zach Edey go in the top 10. He'll be playing not too far away in Memphis. You have your various trades and things that happen, teams moving up in the draft and things like that. But I wouldn't say necessarily like very chalky, but we basically knew who the top three picks were going to be, and no drama about Bronny yesterday either. So I guess that moves on to today, where the thought is maybe he'll get drafted somewhere in the back 20, something like that. So. Yeah, I watched, I didn't see the first nine picks. I was watching afterwards a little bit and watching Jacoby Walter go to Toronto. I saw Jalen Tyson going to Cleveland and just kind of left it at that pretty much. So I don't know what we're going to get out of these guys, but you got your first day of the draft finished. Second day move. What'd you think of Edey going to the Grizzlies? 7'4", two-time AP Player of the Year. They didn't seem to be too worried about his age. That's the reason that I kept hearing that Dalton Kincaid kept sliding down the draft board. 23 years old. I think Edey's about the same age, if not 1 year younger. But I guess you got to be a teenager to get everybody's attention when you're going into the NBA, right?
The thing with Zach Edey in this arcade style of the NBA game, I'm not denying that he's not a talent, but he slows the game down a lot. There's value. There's 100% value in Zach Edey. I'm not saying that. There's not a whole lot of big men that post up and go to work down low. Joel Embiid's one I think of. Most of these bigs are kind of stretch fours, or you got to be able to stretch the floor out there. I wasn't sold necessarily on Zach Edey that I think he'll just be. Zach Edey's not going to make an all-star team. I don't think there's anything like that. He can be a nice piece, and you can have him in there and do something with him. But yeah, he's okay. He's slow. I mean, but 7'4" is what you can't teach 7'4", man. When you're 7'4", you're kind of playing a different game.
I kept thinking when I was watching last night, I remember bringing it up yesterday, no Razorback going in the draft for the first time since 2018. But you did have another North Little Rock Charging Wildcat go in the draft with Khalil Ware, formerly out of Oregon and Indiana. And I don't remember how highly he was recruited by Muss at Arkansas, 15th overall to the Miami Heat, which I guess also felt like a little bit of a surprise. You know, there are three kids from North Little Rock High School that are in the NBA now. Well, I guess you got to wait for Ware to sign his contract, but Moses Moody, Nick Smith Jr., and now Khalil Ware. I think Ware's the only one who finished his career playing for the Charging Wildcats. So that's pretty cool to see, although it does leave you like, all right, would have been nice if he could have played at Arkansas. Cal was there, of course. It's kind of interesting to look at Cal there as the Arkansas coach and being there for two of his Kentucky guys to go in the top 10 with Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham each going in the top 8. So, I mean, I guess you could say it's publicity for Arkansas. It absolutely is publicity for Arkansas, but it's kind of more, I guess you call it publicity for Calipari University, right? Because those are, what was it, the 27th, 28th players drafted in the first round in the time that he was the Kentucky head coach. And that number is going to go up next year. Who knows? Maybe two or three guys that could potentially be first rounders that are following him here to Arkansas now. Cal was kind of all over the place yesterday, too. He was on Pat McAfee. He was on the ESPN telecast. And you just kind of get used to that now, you know, when you're the rock star of college basketball coaches. Or at least one of them that's in the band. It's not that you're looking to go on, it's people want you to come on, and I don't think he's very shy about that either. So yeah, it's good pub for the Razorbacks. I can just get used to seeing Cal on these national programs.
You know, I think the Lakers might have got the best two-way player if you're looking at Dalton Connect, and I think the Spurs at 4 got the best athlete. You look at Stephen Castle. I've been a fan of his since watching UConn, and he's a freshman. He's just a baby. He's going to get so much better, but I like his athletic ability. And definitely you see these national championship teams, a lot of times you'll have a super freshman that can go and he's there. So I thought the Spurs, they questioned when they took Rob Dillingham, cause I thought, man, there's just no way I'm taking Rob Dillingham. He's too little. He plays below the rim. Not saying that he might not be able to get there eventually, but he's a few more years out, a little light in the britches. But they traded him to Minnesota. So then it makes sense.
Yeah, well, we'll get the second round for you today on ESPN Arkansas and hitthatline.com on a day that also includes the Olympic track and field trials resuming in Eugene, Oregon. Be able to watch that either on USA Network or on NBC and Peacock. And yeah, you got your first presidential debate today if we're looking for contests. And I don't know if I call that sports, but yeah, it's going to be on all the network shows, on all the network TVs, TV stations. So I wonder if Bet Sarazen has any odds on who's going to win the debate today. I don't think he can pull it off like that because you don't keep score. It's not like, Around the Horn. I don't know if you ever watch Around the Horn on ESPN, where all of the various sports writers or sportscasters get points for making a good point. I don't think there's a point system for presidential debates. Good thing, too, because I don't know how many great answers we're going to get out of them today or really in the next few months, to be quite honest, either.
at halftime on this Thursday, centering around the NBA draft. We got sound from Dave Van Horn from yesterday's press conference. And, of course, Jim Schlossnagel was introduced at the University of Texas. We'll have some thoughts on that. Sound from Cal while he was on the Pat McAfee show. We are also 63 days away from the start of the Arkansas football season, and the little drip, drip, drab of promotion for the EA Sports College Football video game continues to come out, because now after releasing the top 25 most difficult places to play and Razorback Stadium ranking number 23, the top 25 offensive rankings have been released. These are team rankings, not individually. And I guess no surprise, Arkansas is not on the list, but I do wonder about why a few of these teams are out there and you don't even see anybody like in the top 10, Miami, Colorado, and Clemson in the top 10 with Ole Miss at 13th. Matt, I was kind of thinking Ole Miss may end up being one of the top five offenses in college football, and EA Sports has them ranked 13th. So, I mean, is there that much of a difference between 13 and 9 or 10? It's just a little bit of a surprise to see them behind Colorado and behind Miami, too.
I think Lane Kiffin's a top 20 coordinator. You know, I know he's the head coach, but he calls the plays. I think he's top 20. You could put him top 10. So, yeah, you give him any type of talent. You give him a quarterback that's been in the system. They did lose, I thought, the best running back in the country to Ohio State, but when you got Lane Kiffin as calling the plays, I think you always got a shot. I think he's supremely talented. And so, yeah, I would say just putting that name, kind of how you do college recruiting in basketball. It just says Coach Musselman, Coach Cal, and then you see a ranking, but we don't even have any players yet. I think you kind of give that with Coach Kiffin, that he's pretty good at what he does.
And I do think that this will be a year where Arkansas's offense takes a big step forward. And again, I'm not sure if you look at like being top 25, if the offensive rankings came out last night, well, this morning, I guess, then I guess that also means maybe tomorrow or early next week, the defensive rankings will come out, and that is the side of the line of scrimmage that does worry me a lot more than the other. It's a defense over offense in terms of question marks. I guess you would put that on the list as question marks. Concerns are the same thing. I forgot to mention this because at 6 o'clock, we've got 5 o'clock it would be, a pretty important soccer match in Copa America, United States and Panama in Atlanta today at the home of the Atlanta Falcons, and I guess you'd say the home of the Atlanta United because that's also their home pitch. They picked up a victory against Bolivia. What do you think about the match against Panama tonight, Matt?
Well, America's not, we're really not, you know, USA, we're okay. Nothing's a given in this, especially round robin play. Uruguay's the best team, best talented team in our group. I watched the entire first game, and it's hard when you're playing a team that all they're going to do is play defense. It's one-way traffic. You're just trying to pick and probe and figure out, and you got to have some talent. And, you know, Pulisic did that first. He scored on the second. It's a routine, basic, you know, it'd be like running the flex offense in basketball. It's just you first screen down low, come back, bam, layup. That's all it was. It wasn't like we did anything. I mean, you're playing a good team. It's not a goal. So we'll see. We're playing each team, to Bolivia, to Panama, to Uruguay. It's funny how it works out, Phil. Each team's going to be better than the other. So Panama's better than Bolivia. We'll see what happens. Uruguay is the best team in the group.
And then they'll play Uruguay on Monday night in Kansas City. And that's a match that if you look hard enough into the crowd behind one of the end zones, we might actually see our very own Matt Jones at that match. Do we call them end zones in soccer?
It's a long ways away. You never know what's going to happen from now till then.
All right. Here's some sound coming from yesterday morning's Dave Van Horn Zoom press conference, talking about really the thing that's on the top of everybody's mind in college baseball. It's pretty amazing because you just had a team win a college baseball World Series championship while at the same time winning an SEC regular season and tournament title and going into the tournament as number one. I don't know anybody that's really talking about Tennessee. It's all about Jim Schlossnagel, Texas, and Texas A&M.
Like I said, you can see me. I don't know what to think about it. You can get involved in those situations. That all you have to do is make a call or send a text, and next thing you know, things are happening. But it's a tough situation when you jump from one school right down the road to another when they don't like each other in first place. It's going to be interesting in our coaches' meetings. I don't know who A&M's going to hire. I just know our league is really, really good. And when Texas comes in and OU comes in this year, it's going to be even better.
Yeah, that is the next thing on everybody's mind, I guess. Who does A&M hire? I've thought that potentially that there'd be an SEC school that might at some point convince Matt Deggs to leave Louisiana. It's a guy that is on the Dave Van Horn coaching tree. See if A&M tries to kick the tires on that or if they'll be looking inside the SEC. 11 Aggies, pardon me, 12 in the transfer portal right now. And I see the press conference yesterday with Schlossnagel, and then I see a photo of two of the assistants that he took with him from A&M to Texas. Photos tell you a lot sometimes, although it's just a little snapshot in time. You never quite can tell. I'm pretty sure, I know this, that Tony Vitello, if he were to take a choice between the two men that he worked for before taking the head coaching job at Tennessee, would he rather sit and have a meal with Dave Van Horn or with Jim Schlossnagel? I think it would be DVH. And looking when the two coaches that were combatants in the championship series shook hands, remember, it was Schlossnagel with a smile on his face, and Vitello looked like he was ready to just get over with the handshake as quickly as he could. And this photo tells me a little bit of the same thing. Michael Early and Nolan Kane are flanking Schlossnagel in this photo, and Schlossnagel looks happy. He looks pleased as peach because he's going to be making over $3 million a year as the head coach of Texas. Michael Early and Nolan Kane, they either... I don't know. You know, there are some people, Matt, that just don't smile for photos. Maybe that's what it is. I know some people that every time you're going to take a photo of them, they just sort of either purse their lips or they can't smile. It's just not in them. I don't know if that's, I don't know Michael Early or Nolan Kane, so I don't know if that's their problem, but they're not smiling. They don't have any happiness on their face at that moment at all.
Kyle Filipowski, he wasn't smiling yesterday. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll hear his name today, so maybe we'll see him smile.
Well, here was more sound from Dave Van Horn, and this is on the other coach I just mentioned, on his former protege, Tony Vitello.
Yeah, I didn't see it. You know, yesterday, probably midday, I got a screenshot of what was said. So I pulled it up and tried to find it. Just wanted to hear what he had to say. And I really appreciate it. You know, it's bittersweet because, you know, they want it and we didn't. And, you know, people are happy there and people are not happy here.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way that you put it there. People are happy there. People are not too happy here. But I don't think anybody's quite got the same mindset as Texas A&M. I don't think it's just baseball fans. It's just their athletic department overall. And I saw where a former Aggie player, J.B. Moss, if I remember, if this is the guy I'm thinking of, he was a really good left-handed hitter, a guy that could absolutely rake. He went on Twitter yesterday and accused Schlossnagel of recruiting players to Texas using a burner phone while he was still the A&M head coach. These things get around amongst the players where they'll start talking about this. And I just have a set. Come on, if you accepted the job 3 weeks ago, or even more than, I think it was more like a month ago, are you really just about to focus on the team that you are coaching, or are you going to also try to build your future team at the same time? Didn't I just read that the Charlotte Hornets just hired a new head coach who was an assistant on the Boston Celtics staff? But they hired him 7 weeks ago. They hired him during the playoffs. He stayed as an assistant with Boston through their run, while at the same time being in touch with everybody he was going to work with and the people that you know, he wants to hire and all that kind of stuff. I can't imagine that Schlossnagel or any coach that knows he is going to be leaving his current situation for another one, whether it was the day after the finals or whatever, who knows if Schlossnagel expected his team to go as far as they did. I don't think there's any way that he had his mind strictly on his baseball team. Now, the new Hornets coach, it's not like he was the head coach of the Boston Celtics. It's not like he was running the team. In this situation, it almost feels to me like I don't know how A&M would get there as far as they went when their head coach had one eye on that team and another eye on the team he was going to be joining.
Wonder who stays with their team longer, J.J. Redick or your boy from College Station, Duschnagel. I wonder if he... I wonder who stays there longer.
I'm glad you broke the seal with that terminology. And that's actually, look, I'll say this. I think Schlossnagel will win at Texas. Just going by his track record, and it hasn't just been a flash in the pan at A&M. It was plenty of time at TCU as well. I just expect he'll be there a long time. I don't know if I see this as a Billy Gillespie going to Kentucky basketball, where it just, you know, culture didn't quite mix. The personality wasn't quite wasn't right. I think Texas fans will just already be willing to embrace him just on the idea that he left Texas A&M the day after a finals. So, my guess there, Matt, would be Schlossnagel or Duschnozzle, as I've seen him referred to in some other cases. I imagine that the A&M fans, though, have some other, probably more, risque nicknames for him at the moment. But, I'm just happy that it happened, just because it's interesting to watch and interesting to see all these players getting in the portal. And I know a lot of Razorback fans are asking me, can you get some of these guys? Can you get a Jace Laviolette? Can you get a Gavin Grahovic or an Ali Camarillo or a Caden Sorrell or a Caden Kent? Now, looking at the players that they've gotten to transfer in for right now, my initial answer would be no, probably not, because none of the players that Arkansas has transferring in are coming from the SEC. Not one of them. You got one player coming from the Big 12. That's Cujillo Aloy, Vahiva's brother, coming from BYU. But otherwise, I mean, you get five junior college transfers. You got players coming in from Florida Gulf Coast, from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Georgia State, TCU. That's another one there. Logan Maxwell, that's a Big 12 team. Fresno State. Ohio State, Oregon State, that's Aiden Jimenez, the right-handed pitcher, and they just got the commitment from one of the top players in Division II baseball, Carson Bowles, a corner outfielder. So I just don't know how many more spots there are for guys that already have established themselves in the SEC. And the other thing that goes into that is the money that they will be either asking for or will be offered or already were making at A&M. And I just wonder if that sort of money is available at Arkansas based on this answer from Dave Van Horn yesterday.
You got to be able to hit it over their head. You got to hit some home runs. You got to have some power, but you need some athletes in there that can steal a bag and steal a bag when everybody knows you're going to steal. And we're working on that. Definitely something that we feel like we're addressing. And again, we got to get these kids to show up, and, you know, we got to deal with, in some cases, the draft, because a couple of these kids are older. For the most part, you know, it looks like we're going to get these new guys and some of these young guys and a couple of JUCO guys. We want to bring in the player that it's not all about the money.
It's not all about the money. And I'm not saying that for all of these A&M players that it is about the money, but they were at a school where they were getting some of that money. And I don't know if that's available at Arkansas, whether the same amount of money or if that has already been promised to other players. So to the questions of, can they get some of these guys from A&M? I mean, I guess I think that there potentially can be a chance, but I don't think it's a very high chance, because that's not really the kind of player that Arkansas has recruited through the transfer portal. And you already have in, what, that's 10, 11, 12, 14 players. You got incoming players. Are you going to try to gather as many great talented players as you possibly can? I just feel like it would be a surprise if any of them come from Texas A&M. But I hope they do, because I'd like to stand there and talk with one of them one-on-one about what this experience has been like over the last few days and how many of them knew this was going to happen, or whether or not they knew about the burner phone too. Never had a burner phone. I've seen some of those, because I watched The Wire, just like many of you did, too. This is a little bit different than that.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Now, y'all know I love McDonald's for a quick meal, especially if I'm out and about with the boys and need something to eat. I like food, and y'all know I like saving money, too. Did you know that you can save money with deals in the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, you heard that right. There's a deal every day in the app. So if you are an avid McDonald's goer like me, you'll find the best value for your buck by using the app. One of my favorite things about the app is the ability to order ahead. So let's say I'm on the road, just picked up Axel from school, and know I promised him some McDonald's fries and a sundae, but don't want to have to wait in that long line. I open up the app and just place my order there. Then I can walk in and pick up my order when it's ready, no wait needed, especially if I time it right. And I love that you can also get a bunch of deals in the app as well. I just logged in and can get a free Big Mac with a minimum purchase of $1. But check it every day because the deals are always changing. Plus, make sure to share your birthday so McDonald's can celebrate with you with something special. Dream drivers save money with the McDonald's app. Nope, you must opt into rewards.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
As we are 63 days away from Arkansas football. You got a 63, Matt?
I always think of Jordan dropping 63 in the Garden.
Yes.
On the Celtics. Was that his fourth year? I think
it was 87.
Yeah. But, man, that was kind of the changing of the guard, so to speak. I guess the Pistons won it back-to-back years, but then it was kind of, we all saw it coming. But, yeah, that's where I always go.
If I think of 63, I'm thinking, I think Dermoni Dawson wore that number, Hall of Fame center for the Steelers. And number 63 does play center for Arkansas. Addison Nichols is number 63. He is the transfer coming in from the University of Tennessee, 6'5", 306. He got in as the lead center at the start of spring ball, and nothing's going to change that, so I guess 63 makes sense. If we got a Hall of Fame center that's wearing that wore that number, and you got a new center at Arkansas that's wearing the number as well. Any other number 63s, let us know about it at 877-377-6963. And, of course, our phone number does end with number 63. 63-yard field goal by Steve Cox, says BJ. There you go. That's a good one. I don't know any other 63s to hit on, but I'll touch on it at some point.
It's a good score on the golf course.
One I'll never make.
I've shot a 63 on the front nine before, but if we want to go all 18, yeah, that's man, that would be cool to be able to do that, huh?
It would. Let's take a phone call from Charlie, who was called up today, of course, here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
I am doing well, Phil. What's going on with you guys? I will say this. I drew a blank on the 63 here. I know one, but I just can't think of it. But I want to ask you this, Phil. Where does Tommy keep grabbing all this all-star Hall of Fame talent from to put on all these shows? Because Colton is awesome. So he's getting.
You just like how he answers the phone. He's just probably very nice to you and whispers sweet nothings in your ear when you call up.
That's what it is. But no, I'm serious, Phil. I mean, this whole crew here. I mean, even the Morning Rush. I didn't mean to say it like that. I love Todd too. You guys,
Charlie, you don't need to pump us up like this. You don't need to be this nice. We already let you on the air anytime you call. It's not like you're greasing the rails here or anything.
True. I just want to say maybe I'm a part of this team too. I may not work for you guys yet, but you know, I'll just start paying you guys so I can maybe stay on a little bit.
Just
longer.
Keep self scouting, Charlie. You keep getting better. It's okay.
Yeah, you are right, 100%. But, you know, I was thinking last night, Matt, I was watching NBA draft, and, you know, they keep on saying, and this irritates me sometimes as a person when I watch the draft, oh, there's not a generational talent in this draft. Okay, we've heard that 500,000 times since, you know, this draft process began, but this new class. You know, I think a problem how many superstars do you think there are in the NBA, Matt? Because I don't think there are that many. There's only a few that are just that I could look at and go, man, that guy right there, he's elite. There's just a few. And that when I think of generational talent, that's what I think of. And then you have your all-stars. And I think you have tiers of role players. Why is it? Is it just something with today's generation? What's the deal? Because it's okay. Not everybody can be a superstar. I don't know why some players don't just, maybe it's what they've been taught. Why don't people try to be like Drew Holiday? That would be a guy that I would, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to be a superstar. Why not try to be the best darn role player I can be? I don't understand that. I wonder what you guys thought about that, Phil.
I just wonder what Holiday's attitude was when he came out of UCLA. You know, how long was it to develop that kind of an attitude? And I also feel like how do you define what a superstar is? You know, superstars that come out of college, they're not immediate superstars in the NBA. It takes a while. Zion Williamson was a superstar in college basketball. He is in the NBA when he's healthy, but it's difficult for him to stay healthy. And that also, Matt, felt to me like that was part of the overarching story of the NBA playoffs this year. You know, some of the older teams against some of the younger guys, thinking of like how Minnesota, you know, rose up at a certain point. Oklahoma City at the same time. Hey, Celtics, that's a team with some young players, and you say, well, do they have a superstar? I don't know. They've got, how do you define what a superstar is? Because there's stars, there's superstars, and then there's icons, just like we were talking about too with Willie Mays. I mean, that was an icon. Are there any icons in the NBA right now outside of LeBron? KD maybe?
Well,
Stephon Curry?
The thing that the NBA is so different than, and not that other sports, you don't have growth and you don't project, but the NBA more than anything, they're trying to project 5 years down the road right now because these kids don't come in and play right away. You know, it took Tyrese Maxey to his third year, you know, end of his second year, and we're all like, man, that was so quick. I kind of equate it to baseball players. You know, you got to kind of put a couple years in the double A. Before you get to go up there, I wouldn't be surprised eventually if they go back and you can get your guy to and have his rights like they do with the European guys. But if you take a kid like Castle or Klingon from UConn and it's like stay there with Danny Hurley and we got his rights and we get you next year, especially with all this 1099 NIL stuff, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, what kind of rules does the NCAA have? They don't have any rules. The NBA can do whatever they want. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see something like that in the future.
It's like looking through recent drafts. You know, I mean, look, nobody from last year. Would you say Victor Wembanyama is a superstar yet? Reigning NBA Rookie of the Year? I just don't think 1 year is enough.
He's the first one to win, you know, unanimous in 7-8 years or so. Yeah, he's built different is why, Phil. He has potential because he is built different. You know, Tyler Kokak, he didn't even get drafted, and he's one of the best point guards in college basketball. And but Wemby, you can't that range and that 7'4" wingspan. You can't teach that. So he has a chance to be, no question.
Zion should be a tight end in the NFL, is what Wesson Harrison says.
He's been hurt. I don't know who would he be, like Robinson Cano maybe. Like who's a guy that should be better but just was hurt all the time? That's Zion. He can't play three straight months healthy. He gets every other week. He gets hurt every time he comes back. Gets hurt again. He hadn't been healthy once.
Superstars carry teams on their shoulders. They're the ones that you recruit other players towards. They're the reason that they're the ones that everybody's buying their jerseys. And they're the ones that also get recognized, name recognition, coast to coast. Even the casual sports fan, they know who the superstars are. That's why I throw out the name of a Stephon Curry, of a LeBron James, of a Kevin Durant, because these are the guys that have been doing it for 20, 15, 12, 13 years in these cases. And I mean, there've got to be players that are on that trajectory, right? But it also takes a little bit of time for that name recognition to kind of hold right now. Who would you say are stars that are potentially to the next level of superstar at some point? Thinking maybe like SGA or maybe a Jalen Brunson. Giannis is a superstar, right? That's an international superstar for you right there. Who else could you think of? Anthony Edwards. He's close to being at that next level of superstar. But it just takes some time before you get there. And look, who are the people that are saying there's no quote unquote generational talent in this draft this year? Well, it's scouts for the most part, right? They're the ones that are leaking that kind of information out. They're the ones that are right there on your television screen on ESPN that are analyzing this draft. So man, they have to have a bit of a sense about this. It's like Dave Van Horn is talking yesterday about the Major League Baseball draft, and he's got a sense about this because he's recruiting kids out of high school, and he's as well locked into what's going on in college baseball as anybody else. And he says, well, it's the first round is probably pretty strong this year, but after that, it's not quite as strong as some other years. I would take what Dave says and say that I'll trust what he tells me, because this is someone that's been, you know, on the ends of this for 30 years now, 35 years. 877-377-6963. Sammy Sosa, 63. That's a good one. Jacob in Missouri sent that one in. 63 home runs. Did he have a season where he hit 65? JT in Hot Springs says a superstar is someone that his mom knows without thinking about who they are.
Well,
Frank Sinatra.
The icon, what you're talking about, you know, somebody who's different. Steph Curry was doing something at a higher rate than anybody had ever done before from farther back. You know, so it's kind of, do you think Steph Curry, or you just think great player, Hall of Famer? Because I think he got to icon status. I do, because he's doing so. Kevin Durant was doing what he was doing there for a little bit, it was the first time you had seen a 7-footer be able to handle the ball like that. Like, you've seen 7-footers handle the ball before, but not like that. I mean, you're seeing something different. I think that's what Wimby can do. He's so tall and has some of that fluidity that he's something that you're kind of seeing like you hadn't really seen that before, because it's all been done. But all these guards that are in there, like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, those are the two best guards, two best American guards, and everybody's just like, yeah, we've seen it before. Like, no, but those aren't icons.
Now, they could be iconic to Boston fans, but nationally,
they're amazing.
No, not yet.
They're probably both going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Yes, I'm not slighting them. I'm just, they're not, they're, well, they just don't feel like icons.
That's the whole point, and you're right. There's a big difference between Hall of Famer, superstar, and icon. And I would put Stephon Curry in the icon category, because think of any of the kids that anytime they heave up a half court shot, what do they say? Steph!
They say Steph Curry ruined the game of basketball. Yeah. Because everybody's trying to throw it up from half court.
Yeah. I mean, you reserve that title for just the real special ones. That's icon. That's where you reach a level of
Allen Iverson, you know, I think he would be there. Paul Pierce, I wouldn't put him there. You know,
Iverson might have gotten there because of the practice thing. That's also part of it.
He had street cred. He had other things too. Yeah, he definitely he had every. But I would put Allen Iverson above. Paul Pierce won a title. Allen Iverson didn't. They're both Hall of Famers, both amazings. But I think Allen Iverson was an icon, and Paul Pierce was a great Hall of Fame, amazing player.
Both superstars, though.
Both superstars.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Hickey & Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hull Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation, or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Big day of track and field, starting the first of 4 days remaining in Eugene, Oregon today. You know, there have been, I think it's 4 Razorbacks that qualified earlier in the week. What are we looking at today in terms of events and maybe the next couple of days too?
Well, yeah, the first round, 400 meter hurdles. You know, Rachel Glenn, who's an Arkansas redshirt junior this year, she qualified in the high jump Monday night, and then she's very versatile, obviously, and very talented. She's running in the heats of the 400 hurdles tonight, and Track and Field News projects her to make the team. Now, we'll see. They didn't project her to make the high jump team, and she did. And so she has it. Now, this is not a final. This is just the first round, so she's got to advance tonight and advance out of the semis and then get to the final and place in the top three. But, I mean, she's got a legitimate chance to qualify for the Olympics in 2 very different events. You know, we're not talking about the, not that I'm not saying it's easy to do like in the 100, 200, the 5K, and 10K, but we're talking about a field event and a running event. That's pretty impressive if she can do it. And then you got Shamir Little is also in the 400 hurdles. She ran at A&M, but she's trained at Arkansas for many years. She's listed as a volunteer assistant coach. She ran in the 400 and made the final, but this is her bread and butter, mean potatoes, I think she called it the other night, the 400 hurdles. So those are two athletes with Razorback ties to watch. They've got the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase final, and Chrissy Gear, who ran at Arkansas. She trains out at altitude in Flagstaff, Arizona now, but she was the U.S. champion last year in this event. Now, she didn't run really great the other night, Monday night in the qualifying round, but she did advance, so we'll see what she can do. But she is the defending champion. And then you've got Tara Davis Woodall, who's trains here. If people know who Hunter Woodall is, you know, was Arkansas sprinter. That's his wife, and she's the world indoor champion in the long jump. So she'll be the favorite. Again, it's just the qualifying round, and you know, you got some others with Arkansas ties. UAPB Golden Lion, Caleb Snowden will be in the high jump qualifying round. This year he got second, and I think it was third in the high jump outdoors, but he's an All-American from UAPB, so give a little shout out to the Lions. So, yeah, if people want to tune in to watch, when you're going to have Lance Lang in the 200 meters, he's definitely got a shot to advance. He's a Razorback senior this year. I don't need to name everybody because you're that long of a show, for my segment's not that long, but if people want to tune in, they're going to see some great track and field, and they're also going to see some folks with Arkansas ties.
I know you wrote about Talia Brooks in your most recent piece in the Democrat Gazette, making the U.S. team for the first time in her third attempt at the trials, and is going to be competing in the heptathlon, and this is somebody that we see you know, on the video board and on the football field and on the basketball court all the time at Arkansas games. And it's a face, I think, that everybody is familiar with and someone they've already been rooting for the last 6-7 years, and excited to see her, that she's going to be going to Paris. But, man, reading your piece, the family was so optimistic about her opportunity that they already bought tickets to fly over to Paris for the Olympics. Even before she was in Eugene at the qualifiers. She certainly made them look like they'd made the right choice.
Yeah, we talked to several of the athletes last week before the trials, and Talia, I had to get to know Talia for a long time and really think the world of her. Really happy for her because, you know, she's 29, which for an athlete is getting a little on the old side, right? But for a regular person, you know, that's very young. And she's had a lot of injuries and different things. She had 7 surgeries on her left knee, unbelievable to me.
Wow.
And it's a tough event, you know, it's 7 events, really. And to get through that, and she had some PRs and what she said were some weak events, but you're really happy for her. Yeah, we were just talking. She was saying that, you know, obviously she wanted to make the Olympics the last time in 2021 when she had the misfortune to get overheated in Eugene when it was just ridiculously and I guess historically hot, like 110 degrees and much hotter on the field even, and she was overcome by the heat. But she said, you know, the Tokyo Olympics, it seems hard to remember when that long ago, but back then spectators weren't allowed at the Olympics, or so very limited. And so a lot of her family couldn't have gone to the Tokyo Olympics. And so she was saying, you know, if I'm only going to make an Olympics once, you know, if I guess what she said is if I have a choice, I want to make the Paris Olympics rather than the Tokyo Olympics, because then a lot of my family members and friends can come. And she talked about how she's been getting texts and, hey, I just booked my flight to Paris. And I kind of laughed and said, well, I mean, not that, you know, I don't have confidence in you, but it is the Olympic trials. And, but she said, yeah, it does put a little pressure on you, but also makes you, helps your confidence that they have, you know, so much belief in you. And so thankfully it came through. And so those folks that booked flights, they don't have to change them or try to get refunds or go to Paris, which is obviously a great trip, whether it's the Olympics or not. But now they can go over there and hopefully enjoy Paris and also get to see Talia compete. And, you know, she said her grandmother, who had not seen her compete in person since she was a senior in high school, so we're talking like, I think, 2013 or 2012, and was there in Eugene. And I assume she'll be going to Paris, too, so that's awesome. You know, we see the athletes out there on the track competing, but really there's a whole team behind them of, you know, coaches and trainers and people that help them with strength and conditioning. And then there's the other team, which is their family, you know, that's supportive and you know, helped them when they were very young, probably took them to practices and all those things. So you're really happy for the athlete, but you're also happy for their family and friends, obviously.
You know, Bob, one of the conversations we have so often, even throughout the entire athletic calendar, in terms of recruiting to programs at Arkansas or anywhere else. And, you know, you see a lot of kids that say, well, I'm committing to this place because it's going to prepare me most for the next level. And when they're saying that, they're saying for the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA. And you want to project out to those prospects or potential student athletes of yours that you can win while you're at school as well. And obviously track and field has 51 national championships to promote. But when you're talking about like the pinnacle of track and field, now, I know that they want to be professionals, but we always think of track and field in terms of the Olympics. This feels like the pinnacle of the sport. How important is it to Arkansas track and field, both in terms of men's and women's, to promote or be able to show, yes, yeah, we're going to win while you're here, but we're also going to prepare you for the Olympics, and look at all these Razorbacks or former Razorbacks that are in Paris right now.
You know, I think it's huge for recruiting, and it shows that they're not just, quote, using the athlete for college purposes. It's kind of like in baseball, you know, like what if Dave Van Horn and Matt Hobbs had pitched Hagen Smith, you know, 8 innings or 9 innings every game? I'm sure he could have pitched more innings, but that probably ruins his arm, right? And so one thing Arkansas, I think, does a really good job of on both men's and women's is, you know, the athletes. A lot of these are transfers, and they just do a lot better at Arkansas than they did at their other school. Not knocking the other schools, but so I think you see the development side of it, and then they also, in Olympic year, they know it's a longer season. They got to take care of these kids. In the Olympics, it's like the Super Bowl, but imagine the Super Bowl is only played once every 4 years. Now, this is 3 years because 2020, there wasn't an Olympics. There was 2021, but, yeah, it's definitely the pinnacle. And it's the one time probably that track and field can outshine, you know, football and basketball and baseball, at least for 3 weeks or whatever it is in Paris. That'll be a bigger deal than what's going on in Major League Baseball and NFL training camps and you know, whatever else might be going on around the world, you know, NASCAR races or something. And so, it's a big deal. I think Arkansas has had 57 Olympians, men and women, and now they've got over 60. And, you know, the Jamaican trials are starting this weekend. Arkansas has got 13 former or current Razorbacks compete in the Jamaican trials, which is a little different than the U.S. because they'll select some athletes based on trials, but like Jaden Hebert, for example, former Razorback, he was so good he only jumped 1 year at Arkansas. He's the best jumper in the world. Doesn't mean he's going to win the gold medal. We'll see. But if he had an injury or, I don't know, just a bad day at the Jamaican trials, well, they're going to send him to the Olympics. They're not idiots. But so, and you have him at the British games or trials, whatever they're called, and other places, and you're going to see probably 10 different countries with at least Arkansas ties at the Olympics. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Obviously, the majority of those come from the United States, and Jamaica's been a hotbed for Arkansas. It's great for the kids. They get to come to the U.S., go to college, and compete at a high level, and then obviously it's great for Arkansas to have these elite athletes. So yeah, you're going to see a whole lot of Arkansas in Paris, you know, one way or the other.
Biggest story that we've been hitting on has been the College World Series championship by Tennessee, but that's obviously now been, I mean, totally overshadowed by the Texas A&M Texas situation with Jim Schlossnagel leaving less than 24 hours, I think, after the game was over in order to go take over the Texas Longhorns. And of course, now I wonder if the reaction would be different if he had not answered that question from Richard Zane the way that he did, which was basically deflection and gaslighting. I know he apologized to the writer yesterday in his introductory press conference with Texas, but that also feels like one reason why this has gone down. He asked a question that was perfectly legitimate, Bob, and I would imagine that'd be a question you wouldn't mind asking too, though at the same time you kind of expect maybe you get the same kind of answer.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see the whole press conference, but I saw the video of that, and I thought the writer, who I don't know personally, but I know people who know him, and I certainly respect him and his work. And, yeah, that was a question that had to be asked. And you don't know if a coach is going to hang around, like, after the presser and talk to you. So sometimes you kind of have to ask that question in front of everybody, so to speak. And I thought he asked in a respectful way. He didn't even mention Texas by name. And why, Jim? And I can't believe Jim Schlossnagel didn't know that question was coming or it very well could come. And I get that they just lost the national title and he's upset. But in his mind, I think we know at this point, he knew he was taking the Texas job, right? So he doesn't have to sit there and say, well, gee, I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to be the Longhorns are hiring me tomorrow. Screw the Aggies or whatever. I mean, I guess you don't answer like that. But why couldn't you have said, you know, we just had a really tough loss. I'm really proud of our team. But that's, you know, a very disappointing way to end a great season, and I'm not going to talk about other jobs. Oh, I can't just say that. And why don't you almost have that, like, printed out, win or lose? Because you're going to get the question win or lose, I think. And yeah. So, and then not only does he do that, not only does he not handle it that way, he basically, if you know, I've watched it several times to see what I misunderstand. He basically pledges his undying love to the Aggies, right? Like, this is where I want to be. The whole part about leaving his family behind, I don't know what that was about. I guess I'd have to do some research there. Like, you know, I mean, could he not bring the family with him to College Station if he wanted to? I mean, he's talking about, you know, kids or parents, or I don't know what he was talking about, but he acted very indignant, like he had somehow been wronged. And of course, we know, you know, obviously this was in the works for a long time. You don't leave A&M for Texas in 20 hours, you know. And he obviously had a pre-existing relationship with Crystal Connie, the Texas AD. They were together at TCU and all that. And I've seen a lot of TCU fans posting things about, oh, he acted like he's at TCU and he's up for the A&M job. I'm not interested in any other jobs, but I get it. You know, coaches move around. You're not going to necessarily confirm that you're going to leave in place A for place B. But, yeah, that probably couldn't have been handled much worse. He's obviously a great coach. I'm sure he'll win big at Texas. He might win a national title, might win more than one. I don't know. But that thing's probably going to, you know, follow him for the rest of his career.
Anybody ever answer a question to you by finishing his answer with print that the way that Schlossnagel did? Reminded me a little bit of, who was it? I think Lee Elia, Chicago Cubs manager. Maybe you remember his famous rant in which he basically called Cubs fans bums, the ones that were showing up for day games because they didn't have jobs. And I think he screamed at the end of it, print that. Anybody ever tell you to print that?
I don't know if exactly in those terms, but I do remember that Lee Elia presser. I don't know if I was watching. I watched a lot of Cubs games back then. Yeah, basically calling your fan base a bunch of unemployed bums, not the greatest marketing tactic. sometimes you hit a nerve with coaches. I always, whatever question, you know, if it's whether it's job security or like a questionable coaching decision that in hindsight looks pretty bad, but at the time, you know, you say, well, I understood what he was going for there. It just didn't work out. But I always try to be respectful and think about their feelings and what they're going through and not ask it. I think there's a professional way to ask a question. I'll see things on social media where people say, why didn't you just ask them, you know, this or that? And it's in a very disrespectful way. And you're thinking, well, number one, that's just a bad way to be. And two, you're not going to elicit an answer. And you may not if you ask in a respectful way, but your odds of getting a decent answer are much better. But yeah, I've definitely had coaches ticked off at me before. I don't know if I've ever seen anybody say print that. You know, I guess I chose his age because he's still talking about print.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Now, y'all know I love McDonald's for a quick meal, especially if I'm out and about with the boys and need something to eat. I like food, and y'all know I like saving money, too. Did you know that you can save money with deals in the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, you heard that right. There's a deal every day in the app. So if you are an avid McDonald's goer like me, you'll find the best value for your buck by using the app. One of my favorite things about the app is the ability to order ahead. So let's say I'm on the road, just picked up Axel from school, and know I promised him some McDonald's fries and a sundae, but don't want to have to wait in that long line. I open up the app and just place my order there. Then I can walk in and pick up my order when it's ready, no wait needed, especially if I time it right. And I love that you can also get a bunch of deals in the app as well. I just logged in and can get a free Big Mac with a minimum purchase of $1. But check it every day because the deals are always changing. Plus, make sure to share your birthday so McDonald's can celebrate with you with something special. Dream drivers save money with the McDonald's app. Nope, you must opt into rewards.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Are you ready to give your family the best 4th of July experience yet? USA Fireworks wants to make that happen. Go to hitthatline.com/USAFireworks and enter for your chance to win a $1,000 fireworks show. It's $1,000 wholesale fireworks worth more than $2,000 retail. Again, hitthatline.com/USAFireworks. The USA Fireworks banging giveaway, courtesy of USA Fireworks, ESPN Arkansas, and hitthatline.com.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Brett, always appreciate you joining us. Where are you today?
Trying to sneak up and see the Royals and Guards tonight before a little Diamondbacks, A's, and Caitlin Clark this weekend. So I'm cramming as much into this week and beyond as I possibly can.
Man, I thought I don't stay in one place for more than a day. Then I met you. I've known you for a long time, but man, you are on some kind of a tour this summer.
Hey, why not? Colin's like four softball games in Colorado next week, and then we've got some baseball events at the Diamondback Stadium. So, you know, might as well stay busy around the holiday, I guess. So looking forward to a few games around all of the other games.
So I see you're going to see Michael Wacha pitching for the Royals today. Right. That's a former Texas A&M guy, right? And he's from Iowa City. So, I mean, that plays two ways for you here. You've sat and spoken with Jim Schlossnagel before. So when you saw what happened Monday and Tuesday, what was your reaction?
I was surprised in so many ways. I feel like I know him pretty well, Phil. And his teams have been in these college classic events that I've called for a decade. So I get a chance to sit down with him for 25, 30 minutes and really kind of pick his brain. I always felt like he was maybe the most media savvy coach. Now, that doesn't mean anything to the fans. For you and I, it might be. He might say, hey, you haven't asked me about my left fielder. You should. He's going to be an impactful player, and here's why. And I appreciate that. And one time I think he told me, growing up in North Carolina, he wanted to call basketball games on the radio. That was a passion of his. And I say all of that because I would not have expected him to kind of bungle what he did in that press conference as badly as it came out. And I understand the rawness of playing a game in a national championship game 20 minutes before and then having that question asked, but you have to be prepared for that. And spending a lot of time in Houston, I know a lot of Longhorn fans, but for every Longhorn fan I know 10 Aggie fans. And their reaction to me is, you know, we would have won a natty with Schlossnagel had he stayed, and I kind of agree with them. And losing our coach hurts. Losing our coach to Texas really hurts. But that press conference is going to be something they're going to talk about for the next 15 years. I don't know how you quite kind of move past that without the benefit of time.
Well, and just reading some of the comments, even just from Travis Chestnut right now, and some of the things that I've just heard in other conversations about him. And I just wonder sometimes about this. You know, I have personal relationships with the coaches that I work with. So I feel like I have a sense of who they are. But when you're a broadcaster and you're doing like a pre-series meeting with somebody, or, you know, just like a phone call or a presser or something like that, sometimes I wonder if, you know, you're getting a certain part of that person's personality, and it's not the same kind of personality that you get if you're playing for that person. And that's how this is coming across from Schlossnagel. It's almost like he's got two or three faces.
It's possible. You know, obviously as media members, we like people that are helpful to us, and we don't necessarily care as much about how that translates into a clubhouse per se. This is a guy, though, Phil, in the last 10 years has taken teams to six College World Series. I don't know if there's anybody else out there in this time frame that's that number. I don't think so. Maybe over the last 10 years there's been nobody that's gone to six of these. So he's had success. I think the part, though, that kind of jumps out to me, and I think we talk about it, but I think there's a little fear of kind of jumping too far deep into this. I mean, it's been a known fact, I think, that David Pierce was not going to maintain his job for 2 or 3 weeks at Texas. And to not fire a coach when you don't want to have him back during the most important weeks of the year seems really strange, unless you already have your candidate in mind, because you don't want to fire somebody, have everybody jump in the portal, and be asked why you aren't hiring somebody while you're obviously just waiting and watching for A&M. You know, there were a lot of conversations about maybe he was going to go get Vitello after the College World Series. And then finally Monday, when that announcement came out, and Dave even referenced this yesterday, he felt like he's known that Pierce wasn't coming back for a long time. Then all of a sudden there were a couple of reports out from people that were talking to others that Del Conte had interacted with, saying he was going to Omaha and he wasn't coming back without Schlossnagel. So if this thing had been in the works in one way, shape, or form for the last 3 weeks, that's where I think the kids get frustrated, because they're trying to win a natty. You might have one foot kind of out of the door. You're considering other options, and they're thinking about coming back next year, and you're thinking about being in Austin. I think that's where it really gets problematic. But then again, we've seen it 100 different times in college sports and different aspects. It's just front and center with us because it's one of the more high-profile programs and the highest-profile conference.
Well, and we also have this, you know, question: do athletes commit to schools, or they commit to coaches? And I think in some athletes' eyes, it can sometimes be a little bit of both, or maybe a little bit more one or the other. And this will be a fascinating sort of experiment to see about that, because I just imagine that there would be some parents that look at the way that he went out there and think, that's not a very trustworthy person. I don't know if I would trust my son to play for him. But then you, just like you'd mentioned, six times to Omaha, bunch of guys in the big leagues. That also speaks very loudly, and the money that Texas has too. So, I mean, I'd expect that. I think he'll get Texas. I don't know if they'll get him to a national championship, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't have success there too.
No, I think he will. It's just a question of how quickly. And I think part of how quickly a success will come is how many players, if any, he can bring from A&M. And I'm with you. That's the subplot now with Chase Lavalette going into the portal. You know, you don't put your head in the pillow as a diehard Aggie one night and wake up the next day and say, I'm all in on the Longhorns. However, we're in a different world because 2 or 3 years ago, that would have been crazy to think. But now we know Lavalette, who's a potential 1-1 next year in the draft. And there aren't many guys walking around the planet that can say that. This is a 9-month commitment. And, you know, Dave was throwing out numbers in his presser yesterday. You know, the top players are going for $300,000-$400,000. So if Texas offers him $500,000, would he go? And if not, how many teams are there, hello LSU, that can offer $500,000 to a player, even though he could change the dynamics of their season? That's the fascinating aspect, because this guy is a legit talent. And I think there's probably three schools in the country that could afford him. And if he wants to leave Texas A&M, would he dare follow his coach because he's getting $500,000? Or would he say, I'm better off going someplace else, because it's going to be a transfer within the SEC. He's not going to the Big 12. He's not going to the ACC. And there aren't a ton of teams in this conference that can pay somebody $500,000.
Yeah, and I don't think Arkansas is one of those teams.
I don't either.
I mean, you can sort of tell based on the where they're getting their players to come in from the transfer portal. And I'm not saying they're going bargain hunting, because I think they're getting some really good ball players. It's just they haven't had an SEC to SEC transfer. I know you got this kid Justin Thomas that's coming in from Florida Southwestern College. He had started his career at Georgia. That's not the same thing. That's not transferring from Georgia to Arkansas. So,
and Dave even mentioned it yesterday, Phil. I mean, he used the word budget at one point. And he also said, and I think this is still music to my ears in a sense, he goes, we're still going to build through incoming freshmen. And there are very few programs in the country where culture is the same now as it was 3 years ago. The reason why it is at Arkansas is because they've kept their entire staff together. They've kept their pitching coach. They've kept their hitting coordinator and their recruiting guy and their head coach. And for the most part, you're seeing movement everywhere else in this conference. And you might see coaches come or go or whatnot. They've kept it together, so continuity and culture is still important to them. I think they understand they have to go and augment here or there. But as far as being a freewheeling team willing to spend like an LSU or like an A&M or Texas at this point, I just don't get the sense that they're quite there. And listen, if they can figure out how this works without just going out and buying players every year, I think it's more sustainable in the long run to do it that way. But it always concerns you, because a Texas shouldn't be competitive next year, losing their coach and losing some players and recruits. If they want to go out and spend $3 million, they can be competitive at a hurt.
Well, they've brought in a whole new baseball coaching staff, and I'd forgotten what had happened with the Texas baseball staff in the last 2-3 years. Just a lot of comings and a lot of goings, and they were successful on the field. I mean, they didn't get to Omaha, but they had 2 years in a row that were not bad seasons. It's just there was a lot of changeover as far as the assistant coaching staff was concerned. And then,
you're right. And the other part, though, Phil, is you have to compare them to their neighbor. I mean, it's one thing when you're not going to Omaha, and I think they've been there 38 times in their time frame. That's an absurd number. But all of a sudden, it's not that they're just not getting there. Their biggest rival is and competing for championships. So they base themselves on how they're going up against Texas A&M, and they've fallen behind in that regard. So that itself, probably worthy for a change. The funny part is they owe Pierce $1.6 million if they don't mitigate it. There was a buyout for Schlossnagel, and because there was an extra clause, if he went to another school in Texas, and there's only one he would go to, it's $2.5 million. They have to spend $4 million before they even give Schlossnagel a dime or give a player a dime. But I'm guessing it doesn't impact them because, you know, they want to get back ahead of A&M, and I suppose the best way to do that quickly is to take their coach and maybe some of their players.
These athletic units, these new teams coming into the SEC, they're looking to project stability. with sports that matter to them. And look, Sark is as stable as it gets right now at Texas for football. You don't have to worry about that. And I think the same with Skip Johnson at Oklahoma with baseball. But you look at what Texas has done with their baseball. Look at what Oklahoma did just re-signing or extending Brent Venables only after just 2 years. And that's I don't think that has anything to do about what happened last year with Venables or anything. I think it's just a matter of we're going into a new league. We have to project stability.
Yeah, and you have to pay the going rate, and there's a different rate between the Big 12 and the SEC. Wes Johnson had his contract reworked yesterday and adding several years and dollars to it, and that projects stability, but obviously Oklahoma had to do the same thing. You know, I think the one thing we get caught up in this new world, and again, I'm not a fan of this just buying players and coaches and the exorbitant rates. You know, I keep going back to Tennessee, and I still think there's something there, whether we just talked about Arkansas. You look at Tony Vitello, and ESPN did a nice picture where they put him and Schlossnagel from the TCU team picture. Well, they went to four straight College World Series, largely based on players he recruited. Vitello comes here. Had Arkansas had a 2020 season and gone to the College World Series, that would have been three straight years to the Omaha with players largely recruited by Vitello. He goes to Tennessee the last 4 years as the head of that program. They win more games than anybody else in the national championship. It still matters about getting good players. But, you know, we've gotten a little bit away from just simply recruiting, and we're trying to outspend teams, and I think that's where some schools and some programs are going to implode if they don't have the right guy leading the charge.
Last thing, it's about Heston Kerstad, 0-3 yesterday for Baltimore against the Cleveland Guardians. And, you know, I think I imagine Baltimore has him on the trading block. They need a little pitching. He's their top position player prospect. I think they brought him up hopefully, in their mind, show other teams that this is somebody that will stick in the big leagues. And I think eventually Heston will. Does he get traded off of Baltimore this year?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was thinking that a couple of days ago. 2 or 3 days ago, he had a great game. A couple of doubles. Even had a 12 or 13 at pitch at bat where he was getting a standing ovation. And then he ended up flying out or making an out in the ninth inning. I think he can play. I'm sure you do, too. And I would love to see him get an opportunity. And I think it's only a matter of time. Baltimore's loaded with outfielders like Colton Cowser, who kind of passed him when Heston had his health injuries. So I think that's the case. I think they could get a ton for this guy, too. You know, you get a top prospect who's big league ready. At least it feels like that. It ought to be worth several players or certainly an impactful pitcher. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. And I just hope for Heston's sake it's a good opportunity for him to play on a regular basis going forward and not kind of go through what he's been this year, going up and down. And when he's been up, he hasn't played a ton because, quite frankly, they've got a very talented position player nucleus.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Now, y'all know I love McDonald's for a quick meal, especially if I'm out and about with the boys and need something to eat. I like food, and y'all know I like saving money, too. Did you know that you can save money with deals in the McDonald's app every single day? Yeah, you heard that right. There's a deal every day in the app. So if you are an avid McDonald's goer like me, you'll find the best value for your buck by using the app. One of my favorite things about the app is the ability to order ahead. So let's say I'm on the road, just picked up Axel from school, and know I promised him some McDonald's fries and a sundae, but don't want to have to wait in that long line. I open up the app and just place my order there. Then I can walk in and pick up my order when it's ready, no wait needed, especially if I time it right. And I love that you can also get a bunch of deals in the app as well. I just logged in and can get a free Big Mac with a minimum purchase of $1. But check it every day because the deals are always changing. Plus, make sure to share your birthday so McDonald's can celebrate with you with something special. Dream drivers save money with the McDonald's app. Nope, you must opt into rewards.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
When you find a deal on your favorite thing in the McDonald's app and order it, does that technically count as online shopping? Save money with the app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's, prices may vary.